What a wonderful account we have in Mark chapter 5 as Jesus shows His power. If you read the whole chapter in Mark chapter 5, we didn't take time to read it all this morning. Dave just read the verses that we'll focus on today. But you'll see Jesus displaying His power. He's got power over demons. He's got power over disease. And then at the end of the chapter, He's got power over death. We serve a powerful God. And the Lord Jesus showed that He was omnipotent. Just like God is all-powerful, God the Father, so Jesus is all-powerful because He is God, God the Son. And He displays His power throughout Mark chapter 5. Here we come to the woman with what the Bible calls the issue of blood. Oh, she had a disease. We're not sure exactly what the disease was. The Bible calls it an issue of blood. But she had a disease. She had a big problem, and it was causing her whole life to be miserable. She had tried many different things, and we'll look at that today. But she had a disease. Look down at verse 25 of Mark 5. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years. Folks, like that woman, all of us also have a disease. Our disease isn't necessarily an issue of blood. Our disease is a disease of sin. Oh, I'm not saying that sin is a disease, that we could say, well, I do wrong and I sin because, you know, I'm diseased. No, but just like the disease was ruining her life, so sin will ruin the life of an individual. It ruins our life in this life, and it ruins our life in eternity if our sin is not handled and dealt with. We all have a disease. We all have it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not one of us who could say, "I've never done anything wrong." Not me. All of us have sinned. Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And eventually, the sin that we've committed will cause death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life." We all have this disease. Secondly, I'd like you to see in this woman her desperation. Look down at verse 26. "She had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Rather grew worse. I see in this verse her desperation. She tried everything. She tried the professionals. She said, hey, maybe this doctor will help me. No, maybe this physician will help me. She tried all the different doctors for 12 years. For 12 years. We get frustrated if we go to the doctor and he can't help us and he sends us to the specialist and he can't help us and he sends us to another and we go on for 6 or 8 months. We get frustrated. This lady, 12 years. 12 years. Matter of fact, it said in that verse, she spent all that she had. She took all the money that she had saved throughout her life. She spent her retirement to try to find a cure for this issue that she was having. She saw all the professionals. She probably tried what other people had said. People said, well, you know, why don't you go over to this guy over here? He's pretty good. He could get you fixed up. Or, you know, in those days they had some unusual situations. Anybody ever hear about the Pool of Siloam? You know, where people could be healed. And you know, now here in Northport we have, what, Warm Mineral Springs, okay? Anybody healed at Warm Mineral Springs? Anybody? No, okay. All right, nobody in here. All right. Anyway, you know, people try all different things. And she probably tried everything that people said. You know, if she lived in Northport, she'd probably be in the Springs trying to see if they would give her some healing power. I imagine that after a couple years, she tried to just pretend that it wasn't there. She tried to just say, you know, I've got this problem, I've got this issue of blood, but I'm just going to go on with life and just pretend it's not there. But she couldn't do it because it was too serious. And the situation was desperate. Folks, when we look at our disease, the disease of sin, our situation is desperate. What are you trusting in to have that disease fixed? She tried the professionals. And sometimes people will try to get their sin overcome or fixed or remedied or saved by going to the professionals. They think, well, if I just go to the church, you know, the preacher or the pastor or the priest or the minister, you know, if I go to religion, religion will save me. Folks, that's not true. It's not religion that saves. Nicodemus was a religious man in John chapter 3, and he came to Jesus by night. He was embarrassed to come to Jesus because he was religious. He should have known these things. But he came to Jesus at night, and Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. And he goes on in John chapter 3 and gets to that famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we have the wonderful message of salvation given to Nicodemus, a religious man. Folks, religion can never save us. We can go to church over and over again, and that doesn't make us a Christian. Just like getting into an oven doesn't make you a biscuit. Okay? Getting into the church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. There has to be a time when you come to Christ. She tried all the professionals. She tried religion. Somebody said, well, I think as long as you're sincere, as long as you're sincere. I heard about a man one time. He had one of those big screen TVs, and he had hooked to it a game station. And it was one of those deer hunting games. Have any of you ever played one of those deer hunting games? Okay. I don't know what it's called. Deer slayer. I don't know. They have different deer hunting games, you know. And here you're watching your TV, and, you know, the little deer hop across the field, and you know, and you take your pew, pew, pew. Well, this was a big screen TV. And so just for fun, the man got out his gun, you know. And he's holding his gun and pretending, you know, he's aiming at the deer. And then all of a sudden, you know, he just, oh, there's one. And he's just pretending. He pulls the trigger, and he didn't know the gun was loaded, and he blew apart his big screen TV. Now, folks, he sincerely thought the gun was not loaded. He was sincere. But sometimes we could be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Isn't that true? And so somebody says, well, I think we'll make it to heaven as long as we're sincere. No, sincerity is not enough, because we could be sincerely wrong. This lady, she tried what other people had said. She was desperate. She tried what other people had said. And perhaps when it comes to our souls and the sin that we have in our lives, we try what other people say. What does everybody in the world pretty much say? Well, if you just do your best, if you just live a good enough life, then the Lord will probably let you in. Yesterday we were going around house to house down not even a mile from here. And we were going down a certain street. I think it was called Wabasso Street. Do you ever notice in Northport, any name you can think of, there's probably a street with that name. There's thousands of streets in Northport. But anyway, we're going down Wabasso Street, and I knocked on a man's house, and I gave him our pamphlet. I said, you know, sir, one of the reasons we're coming by is to talk to people about what the Bible says, showing that you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. And it talks about it in this little pamphlet. He said, well, you know, I think I'm going. I'm pretty sure I'm going. I think I'm okay. And I said, well, sir, why would you say that? He said, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I've done some good things. And he based his eternal destiny on his own good works, when the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And you know what? Just like this woman tried what everybody else said, there are people all over our world today, and all over the United States, all over Florida, all over Northport, who say, I think I can get to heaven if I'm just good enough. If I just treat people with kindness, keep the golden rule, do the seven sacraments, confess my sins to the priest, if I go to church, if I get baptized, all these things. And some of those things are good things. But doing good doesn't take away the fact that we're sinners and we've got a need. And this lady, even though she did what everybody else said, she still had the same problem. She tried pretending it wasn't there. And we meet people like that sometimes. People just say, well, I'm just an agnostic. That term means, I just believe you can't know anything about God. Or, I'm an atheist. I just don't believe there is a God. And what they're trying to do is escape the conviction that the Lord brings in their life over sin. Because if there's no God, then there's no eternity, and there's no right and wrong, and I can do as I please and not feel guilty about it. Oh, but there is a God, and there is a right and wrong. And pretending that it's just not there doesn't solve the problem. So we see her desperation. Next, I want you to see the deliverer. The deliverer. Look down at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus. Came in the press behind him. And touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Here we see the deliverer. Oh, she was desperate. She was in this terrible situation. And she didn't know how she would get out of it. But one day, she heard about Jesus. One day she heard, there's this man named Jesus. And there was a deaf man. And now he can hear. And you know that lame guy that was sitting by the temple? Well, he's walking around now. Because he met Jesus. And she thought, you know, I've struggled with this for 12 years. For 12 years I battled this issue of blood. And now I'm hearing about Jesus. If I could get to Jesus, He could solve my problem. If I could just get to Jesus, He could solve the problem. Folks, first I want us to see, she heard about Christ. She heard. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do people get faith to believe on Christ? It's by hearing the Word of God. They've got to hear it. And for them to hear it, we've got to tell them. Because Romans 10 goes on and it says, how shall they hear unless there's a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings of peace. And folks, we need to be spreading that good news. We need to be getting out on the mountains and the highways and byways, the streets of Northport, and letting people know that there is a solution. They've got to hear about Christ. How did she hear? Somebody told her. Somebody told her. And how are people going to hear about salvation? Somebody has to tell them. Oh, maybe you could tell them yourself. Maybe you could bring them to church and we can tell them here. But how can they hear unless somebody tells them? What did she hear? She heard about how wonderful Jesus Christ is and how He can solve her problem. And folks, it's true today for our sin problem. The Lord Jesus Christ is the solution. God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, He died to pay for that sin. If we try to pay for our own sin, we'll pay for it for all eternity in the place the Bible calls hell. Oh, God didn't plan for hell to be for men. He created for the devil and his angels. But if we'll reject Christ and not believe on Him like the Bible says, the Lord has no choice. He's not sending us to hell. We're sending ourselves to hell because He can't allow any sin into heaven. We've all got that sin. But God provided the way to be rescued from that sin through the Deliverer, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have your sin washed away and rescued today. She heard about Christ. Secondly, she had enough faith to come to Christ. Enough faith to come. Some people say, well, Pastor Kneeler, I don't know if I have enough faith. Well, how much faith does a person need to be saved? Jesus said, if you had faith the size of the grain of the mustard seed, you could move a mountain. How much faith does it take to be saved? It's not how much faith, it's whom your faith is in. It's not the size of our faith, it's the object of our faith. And if we'll put our faith in Christ and Christ alone, He'll save us. She might not have had enough faith to be healed. But she had enough faith to get to Jesus. And she said, I don't know the solution. I don't know the answer. But if I'll just get to Him. And so she came. One day, she heard that Jesus was going to be in her town. And she said, okay, I'm going to go see Him. He's helped other people. I know some of my friends will say, well, are you going with religion now? You know, and so maybe I'll face some ridicule. But I don't care. I want to go see Jesus. And she got dressed and she made her way down. I don't know if her disease made it hard for her to walk and travel. I'm not sure. But somehow she got to where Jesus was and she could see Him. And the Bible says that she could see Him through the press. That doesn't mean reporters, okay? Press. It means there were so many people that they were just pressed together as a huge crowd. And somehow she had to make her way through. She had to make her way through. The other day at the youth activity, we were playing big ball with one of those big six-foot balls. I think that one was only 5 foot, though. But back in my day, I used to be pretty good at big ball. We'd play sometimes at a youth camp with 500 kids at once. And the best way to win at big ball is that ball, you keep it up in the air, you just hit it and follow it. Hit it and follow it. And so I was a counselor at the camp, and we'd always tell the kids, hit it and follow it, hit it and follow it, hit it and follow it. And I'd get my arms up above. I'm not super tall, but I'm kind of tall. I'm 6 foot. And I'd get my arms up above, and I'd hit the ball. And if my arms were up, I could squeeze through the crowd. It's a little bit harder now to squeeze through than it used to be. But I could squeeze through the crowd, and I could hit the ball and follow it, and hit the ball and follow it, and just make my way through the press. You know, if you had your arms down, you couldn't get through as well. You try to keep your balance so you don't get trampled, and you just hit the ball and follow it. We had a small group at the youth rally, so it was more like hit the ball, it hits the ground, run after it, and roll it. You know, it was a little bit different. But we had a lot of fun playing big ball on that day. But that's what I think of when I think of the press, working your way through, trying to get to where you need to be. And somehow, this woman, despite her disease, was able to make her way through the crowd and get through the press. And she said to herself, if I could just touch His clothes, I'd be healed. Now, folks, there was nothing magic about touching His clothes, but it was the act of her faith. And maybe she didn't know that, you know, touching clothes doesn't produce magical effects. Maybe she didn't know that. But, you know, you don't have to know a whole lot to be saved. You just got to know that you're a sinner, and you can't do anything about that sin on your own. Your good works can't save you. And that Jesus is the Savior, and if you'll just come to Him, He'll save you. That's what you got to know. She may have had some other mistaken ideas, but she knew enough that if I could just get to Jesus, that He'll take care of me and He'll save me from my issue. Folks, it's not the size of your faith. It's the object. Place your faith in Christ today. Oh, the doctors probably told her, well, you know, you should have come sooner. That's sad news, isn't it? If you get to the doctor and he said, well, you've got this disease now and it's too late, you should have come sooner. But Jesus never says that. It's never too late to come to Him. You can come to Him today. Now, when you do come, you'll wish you had come sooner. I never met anybody who's been saved that says, yeah, I got saved when I was 40 years old, and I'm really glad I waited till I was 40 and did all this wicked stuff and got my life all messed up first. No, everybody I met says, I wish I had known sooner. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so when we see Christ, we see the Deliverer. Next, we see the deliverance. It takes place in verse 29. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Here it had been 12 long years. 12 long years of going to doctor after doctor and spending all that she had. And now, in an instant, she's cured. That's what the word straightway means. Straightway means immediately. Immediately. Right away. As soon as she got to Jesus, she was saved. Folks, salvation is not a journey. Sometimes people are on a journey to get them to the point where they're ready to be saved. But salvation itself is not a journey. It's a transaction that takes place in a moment of time. That moment when you realize, I'm a sinner, He's the Savior, I need Him. And you come to Him, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when that transaction takes place, the Bible says, you're passed from death unto life. Before you're saved, you're on the road to death. You're on the road to an eternal destiny apart from God. But on the day that you decide to trust Christ as your Savior, put all your trust in Him, the Bible says you are passed from death unto life. And now you have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you get to heaven. Eternal life starts right now. Oh, this body may die, but this body is not me. This is just the shell. And I'm going to live forever. When this body dies, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if the Lord comes again before I die, then the body will go too and be changed. And we'll be with Him forever. We have eternal life right now if we've been saved. And if you're not saved, you could have that eternal life. It takes place in an instant. The deliverance took place instantly. There was an instant cure. And notice the cure was thorough. It doesn't say that, you know, the bleeding was stopped up or the bleeding stopped. It says the fountain of her blood. The fountain means the place where it was starting from. You see, when somebody gets saved, it doesn't just clean up their life. Getting saved doesn't mean, well, you know, I'll quit doing this bad thing or that bad thing. No, that's not what getting saved is all about. Getting saved is Christ making the transformation on the inside. He fixes the source of the problem. The Bible says, out of the heart proceedeth all types of wickedness. And when we get saved, the Lord gives us a new heart. He gives us a new inside. He makes us a new person. The Bible uses the old-fashioned word creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It was great to hear one of your testimonies this week at your home and to hear how the Lord transformed your life on the day you got saved and how you were totally new on the inside and it showed itself on the outside. Now, some folks, it takes a little bit longer to show on the outside, but when you're saved, you are totally new on the inside. The fountain of her blood was dried up. The place where all the problem was beginning, it was totally fixed on the day that she came to Christ. Folks, the day you come to Christ, you'll be saved. Saved from your sin, saved from its penalty, saved from its power that it has over you. When we get to heaven someday, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. We won't be perfect until we get there. But you know, before we're saved, we're kind of a slave to sin. It's got its power over us. But when we're saved, Christ breaks that power. And He makes us new on the inside. Where yes, we still mess up and sin sometimes, but we don't have to. We can have victory now. We can live in victory. We can get victory over those sins that does so easily beset us. But it's different. We're not trying to get victory so we can earn our way to heaven. No, it's different now. He's my Savior. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I love Him for saving me. And that's why I want to avoid sin. Because it's the sin that put Him on the cross. It's that sin that made Him suffer in my place. He gives victory, and that deliverance is there. Lastly, let's see the delight. The end of verse 29. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That little word felt. She just knew it. She didn't have a doctor's confirmation yet. Maybe that would come later. Maybe it wasn't necessary. She didn't get, you know, the all clear. Okay, you can go home now. But she knew it. She felt in her body that she was clean. And oh, the delight. Oh, the joy that probably overwhelmed her. He had given life to her. He had restored her life. And folks, when somebody gets saved, first of all, He gives you eternal life. You're on your way to heaven. He restores family life. You become one of God's children. So He says, well, you know, all of us, we're all God's children. Well, God made everybody. And in that sense, you could say we're all God's children. But the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It's the one that believe on Christ and receive Him as Savior. They're the ones that become the sons of God. And until somebody gets saved, the Bible actually says in John chapter 8 that when we're unsaved, we're still the children of the devil. And that's why we do wrong things. That's why you don't have to teach those kids to do wrong. You got to teach them to do right. But when we get saved, oh the delight, God puts us in His family. He makes us one of His kids. Matter of fact, the Bible uses the word born. We are born over again. You were born once physically. When you're born again, you are saved by Christ. And He gives you spiritual life. And He makes you one of His kids. You're born into His family. Not only born into it, but also the Bible uses the word adopted. Is anybody here willing to acknowledge that they've been adopted and they're excited about it? Anybody in here adopted and you're glad about it? Okay, let me tell you, there's something special about being adopted. Because that means, you know, not just my parents had me and they're stuck with me, but my parents picked me. There were other kids, but they went and they picked me. And isn't it great that God has allowed you to hear how to be saved? That's His way of saying, I want you to be one of my kids. Maybe it happened for you years ago, and that was God's way of saying, I want you to be one of mine. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day that you're hearing and understanding your need for salvation. And today's the day the Lord's saying, I want you to be one of my kids. He gives eternal life. He puts you in the family and gives you a family life. And then He gives abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That means overflowing life. He wants our life to be overflowing with joy, with peace, with love. These are the things that the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, God wants all these things to be overflowing in our lives. And it happens when He comes in, when we receive Him as our Savior, when we accept the salvation that He's provided. In just a few moments, we're going to close this service. And when we do, I'm going to give an opportunity for anybody who is not sure that they've received Christ as Savior to make sure of it today. Now, there's different ways that you can do that, but the way we like to do that at Bethel Baptist Church is I'll just come down right here in front of the plant there, and everyone will stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed, and the piano will play. And when the piano plays, if you would like to know Christ as your Savior, I would like somebody to show you right from the Bible the things that I've been talking about. Because I don't want you going away thinking, oh yeah, that's what the preacher said or that's what the Baptist church says. I want you going away saying, that's what God said in the Bible. And I did what God said. And we'll have somebody take you to a side room where it'll be quiet. It'll take maybe 5-10 minutes and go over some of the things we talked about here and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And today's the day that you could be born into God's family. It'd be a wonderful thing. Maybe this is the first time you heard this. Maybe you've heard it over and over again. Maybe it's been years. Maybe you're actually a member of our church. But if you're not sure you're saved, would you settle it today? Maybe you'd say, well, I think I am. I'm just not sure, and I need to talk to somebody. I need to sort some things out. Okay, let today be the day that you come to Christ. And if you need to sort it out, maybe you'll find you already did come to Christ and you know you're saved. But it's something that's so serious that you got to make certain of it. And don't put it off. Before we do that, I have one more thing. And this is for the rest of us who've already been saved, who've already received Christ. There's one more thing to see about this woman and her issue of blood. And that's the declaration. Look down to verse 30. Verse 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Here's the throng of people just crowding around Jesus as He's walking and making His way actually to the house of Jairus. And He's trying to get there to do something good and help this man Jairus. And the crowd is just thronging Him, making it difficult for Him to make progress and walk. And they're just all around Him. And all of a sudden Jesus says, Hey, wait a second. Who touched my clothes? Peter, John, James, Come here. Who just touched me? And they're like, Jesus, there's people all around you. I mean, they're all bumping into you. Everybody's touching you. I mean, there's thousands of people here, and you're bumping into people as you make your way through. What do you mean, who touched you? Jesus knew. Now, was Jesus asking for information here? Who touched me? We know that Jesus is God. He's God the Son. He's God in the flesh. So did He know who touched Him? Yeah. But you see, the Lord always uses questions to motivate and to challenge and sometimes to convict. In this case, he was using a question to motivate the person to let it be known. Who touched me? And she's there. I know it was me. He must be talking about me because I can tell I'm healed. He must be talking about me. Who touched me? He knew it was her. He was God. But he wanted her to come forth and tell about it. And so we see our last point today, the declaration. She comes forward and she tells all the truth. She says, well, I've had this problem for 12 years. How do I know she told the whole story? Because the Lord had Mark write it down in chapter 5, right? So she told the whole story. And she told how the doctors for 12 years have done this. But now I've come to Jesus and He's the answer. Folks, if we've come to Him and we've been saved from our sins and from hell, then we've got to declare it. We've got to let it be known. Oh, we might be kind of shy like this woman. And it was kind of hard for her to come out. It says she came with fear and trembling. So she's a little bit nervous about it. But she lets it be known that she's been saved and that Christ is the answer. I'm sure she went from here and told everybody. Probably a lot of her friends and relatives weren't there that day. And she went back and she said, I'm better. Look, I got color back in my cheeks. You know, everything's back to normal. I'm back to where I ought to be. And they said, really, how'd that happen? Well, let me tell you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that rescued me. He's the one that saved me. And she told everyone. Folks, let the people of Bethel Baptist Church be people who tell everyone. Let us be known as, oh yeah, you guys are from that church where people ask you if we know for sure we're going to heaven or not. Aren't you the guys from, is that your church? Yeah, that's us. We're the ones that, oh, you're the ones that give out those pamphlets that have Bible verses that show you how you can know for sure about heaven. A lot of churches say, well, you might be able to make it if you give enough money or something. But you guys say you can know for sure. Yeah, that's us. The declaration. She told everyone. Jesus was inviting her to make what we call a public profession. Perhaps you've been saved recently and you've never made that public. You know, one of the things you can do when I come down front is you can come down front and maybe you would say, like I said before, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to make sure. Or maybe you'd come down and say, you know, I've been saved, but I never made it public. I never let everybody know that I've been saved. And like that woman, I want you to let the folks know. I won't make you give a speech or anything, but I want to let the folks know that I've been saved. Or maybe you'll make your way to the front and you might not need to even say anything to me. You might just go to this front row or down here at the platform, just find a spot and kneel down and say, Lord, I might have fear and trembling, but I got to be like that woman. I got to start telling some people. I got to get me some of those pamphlets. I got to start telling some people. Because so many people are struggling with that disease for year after year after year. And I've got the answer, Lord, I got to tell them. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I want to just thank You today for including in the Bible for us this great story about the woman with the issue of blood and her faith, Lord, the faith to at least come to You. Lord, I would pray that today, if there's some who are not sure of their salvation, that they would at least come today. Lord, give them at least the faith to step through. Oh, they won't have to squeeze by a whole throng of people. They might have to squeeze out of the row a little bit, but Lord, I pray that they would have the faith to come to You and let us show them from the Bible how to be saved. And then, those of us who've been saved, Lord, we want to just rejoice in the fact that we know we're on our way to heaven and You've done a marvelous work in our lives. We want to love You for it and rejoice in it again. And Father, I really believe that there's some here who maybe need to make that commitment to declare that truth, to spread that good news, to get serious about the whole reason You left us here on earth, to declare that gospel, that good news of Christ. And Lord, I pray that today, this morning, would be a time of recommitment for some of us to what it means to tell other people about the wonderful salvation You've given us. Don't let us keep it to ourselves. Don't let us be embarrassed, Lord. You've adopted us. Don't let us be embarrassed that you're our parent. Let us be willing to spread the news and tell it abroad. Folks,